In a quiet neighborhood in Houston, there's a building where light and color have created a space so special, so sacred, that people come from all over the world just to see it. The Rothko Chapel is a sanctuary, an interfaith church, and a one-man museum devoted to 14 monumental paintings by the abstract expressionist Mark Rothko. Rothko didn't actually live to see it. He committed suicide shortly before the chapel opened. But hundreds of people from all over the world make pilgrimages to it every year. They come there and they sit and they meditate and they pray and even cry. The pianist Sarah Rothenberg has loved the space for years, and she recently was commissioned to make an album that celebrates the genius of Mark Rothko. She told Steve Paulson what it's like to enter the chapel.
The chapel is an independent, very modern building. It's octagonal in shape. And when you walk into it, I think the first thing that happens is your eyes start trying to adjust because you're surrounded really by a number of very large, these kind of monolithic paintings, which at first glance seem to be completely black. And as you sit there or walk around in the chapel, you start to notice that they're not black at all, that they're deeply purple, blending with black, and that there's a lot more activity behind the blackness than what you immediately notice.
Do we know what Mark Rothko was trying to evoke as he created the paintings for this space?
Well, these paintings were made in the late 60s. The chapel opened in 1971. Often mistakenly, these paintings are seen as his last work before he took his own life. In fact, what happened with Mark Rothko, you have to look at a larger picture. He was a hugely successful abstract expressionist painter. He was on the cover of Time. He was kind of the poster boy of the abstract expressionists. He had a love-hate relationship, as many artists often do, with their own success. And I think he started to wonder about color and the fact that people were being seduced by it and often thinking of his paintings practically as decorative, and they were nothing like that. He referred to his paintings as being the most violent paintings being made today. And I think the success of Mark Rothko as an artist is the tremendous emotion that one feels behind the colors. And some people believe that as he progressed and was making these later paintings, he wanted to kind of see if he could do it without the color. He wanted to create the same emotional impact, but try to remove that seductive quality of beautiful color and do something more austere, but yet still filled with passion and emotion. The chapel creates a very interesting effect for someone walking into it. It extends what Rothko had been doing in other places. No longer was it enough for him to just do one painting. He wanted to fill a room so that the spectator was really in the middle of his painting. And when talking about these paintings that had gotten larger and larger, Rothko made it clear that he wasn't trying to make a grandiose statement. In his words, he wanted to create something that was human and intimate. And what he said was, to paint a small picture is to place yourself outside your experience. However you paint the larger picture, you are in it. And what happens when you enter Rothko Chapel is it's very difficult to just look at one painting. No matter where you stand, you can see out of the corner of your eye another painting. And because these paintings are dark and the gradations in them are so subtle, you have to spend time with them. And I think that's a very important part of the experience that leads one to music, because they're not paintings you can just look at and move on. They require a lot of involvement from the spectator. You have to really want to enter the painting in order to have a real experience with it.
So you live in Houston, and I know you've been in the Rothko Chapel many times. You've performed music there. Does this feel like sacred space to you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, people have different feelings about the Rothko Chapel because of its austerity, I think. But there is no doubt that this space has tremendous aura.
Because partly what is so interesting about this is this would seem to be a secular project. I mean, there's no overt religious iconography, and yet it is a chapel. I mean, clearly the intent was to create something sacred here.
Yes, the intention with this chapel was to bring people together. And when you enter the chapel, there are prayer books of all the different religions there. And that is a very, very deep part of the chapel.
So you are a musician, and you've put together a CD that tries to evoke this space musically in some way. How did you go about doing that?
I was asked by Rothko Chapel to create a program for the 40th anniversary of the chapel. And I had a very good starting point, which is Morton Feldman's Rothko Chapel. Morton Feldman, great avant-garde American composer, was a close friend of Rothko's. He was practically a generation younger than Rothko. He was born in 1926. And he came down to Houston for the opening of Rothko Chapel. And at that time, Dominique de Menil asked him if he would like to compose a piece for the chapel, which I think would inevitably at the same time be a kind of homage to his friend, Mark Rothko.
Who had just died shortly before that.
Yes. So he went on to compose a piece, and he called it Rothko Chapel. This is a work for chorus, solo viola, percussion, and celeste. And the chorus sings without any words. So this is a completely abstract work, which goes very well with the complete abstraction of the art itself and also of the chapel not having any specific religious denomination. It's really one of the great masterpieces of post-World War II American music.
What do we know about the relationship between Morton Feldman and Mark Rothko? I mean, they were quite close friends, weren't they?
Yes. Feldman talks about the fact that he often would go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York with Rothko, and Rothko would invariably take him to the ancient art sites, the Greek and the Roman art, and they would spend a lot of time looking at the Greek friezes. This is something that I think is very apparent when you visit the chapel. There's a kind of processional sense to these large paintings, one after another. And anything ritualistic tends to take us back to early art. And I think it's one of the interesting aspects of abstract expressionism, a return to something very primal. This wasn't just invented out of nowhere. And Feldman himself evokes this when he talks about the piece Rothko Chapel. And it's all music that is kind of still. There's a tremendous sense of stillness in the chapel. And that's an unusual characteristic in music. And I think the music on this recording, as does the chapel, takes us out of our daily time and takes us to a larger sense of time, a slower sense of time, and a very inward sense of time where we come to terms with ourselves rather than being distracted by the outside world.
I love the Rothko Chapel, and I was just there recently for my own soul, and it's a sacred place for me.
Terry Tempest Williams is best known as a nature writer, but she's had primal experiences of wildness in all kinds of unexpected places, and she sees the Rothko Chapel as a portal to another kind of wilderness.
There is a panel in the center of the chapel that, for me, feels like a sea urchin. This octagonal shape of deep purple-black. And there's a particular panel I love to sit in front of. And in time, that purple becomes black, becomes the universe, becomes a pulsating black hole. And I am no longer afraid of death in that moment. Or if, you know, my own soul is troubled, as it often is and has been recently, you know, to sit there and just breathe with the intention of purple. I can't tell you what that means to me, whether it's the purple of ocean, whether it's the purple of the Andromeda galaxy, or whether it's purple rain from Prince. He had just passed, and you realize how important it is to be true to your own intelligence, to be true to your own ethics. That's what wildness does for me, even in the Rothko Chapel, with a mind like Mark Rothko.
And the irony is so deep there. I mean, you talked about how, you know, this was, you felt unafraid of death, and yet Mark Rothko himself committed suicide right after he finished painting these enormous canvases.
You know, I thought about that a lot, and I've read a lot of Rothko's words and been to a lot of his paintings, which I experience as landscapes, and I would never hope to understand why anyone would choose to take their life. But I certainly, how to say this, Steve, I can't imagine what one would experience if you had created the panels that he had created. Maybe that was enough. Or maybe you touched something so raw that the pain and the beauty of it could not be borne. I don't know, but I do know that I have been in those kinds of places, mentally, spiritually, where the spirit and life and death merge so fully, all you can do is hang on to some semblance of consciousness.
That's nature writer Terry Tempest Williams. Steve also talked with the concert curator and pianist Sarah Rothenberg about her new CD, Rothko Chapel. It features music by Morton Feldman, Eric Satie, and John Cage.